Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. Trade News, AFL Exchange. For Repco authorised service. For expert car service you can rely on, book online at repcoservice.com. And for Rheem, built tough for Aussie conditions. When it comes to water heating, ask your plumber to install a Rheem.
Hello and welcome to the AFL Trade Exchange. I'm Riley Beveridge. I'm joined by Mitch Cleary. We're here on Continental Tires, AFL Trade Radio. When you need tires, ask for Continental, continental-tires.com.au. Mitch Cleary, how are you going?
Going well, Riley. Even more up and about, given you dropped the at the start of exchange then. So we've had the debate. For those that have listened to our podcast throughout the season in the last couple of years, yourself, Cal Toomey and I have had the ongoing debate whether we should have the AFL Exchange, and you've just dropped it. So it's made my day.
You got some fresh trade news to drop off the very top. What do you got for us, Clears?
Yeah, so any name at this time of the year is of interest when clubs start to ask the question. And rival clubs, including Essendon, have started to pick up the phone around contracted St Kilda player Ben Long right now. So he's contracted at the Saints for 2022. Clubs just starting to ask the question where he sits in the Saints' plans and where he sees himself in the Saints' plans. He played 15 games this year. Four of those came as the sub. He switched from defence to attack late in the year just to get a game. So he's on the fringe very much at the Saints. I think a few clubs are starting to ask the question, could he make us better and would he be open to a move? So 12 months remaining on that contract. He was drafted as a pressure forward, kicked a lot of goals in Footscray's run to the 2016 VFL Premiership, started his time at the Saints in attack, moved to defence under Brett Ratton at the start of last year, sort of pushed out this year with Jack Sinclair and Jimmy Webster getting back into that halfback line and rising in their form. And I think a few clubs are just starting to see exactly where he sits in the scheme of things. Essendon is one club that has asked the question. His uncle, Michael Long, is a legend of that footy club, as big a name as you'll find at the Bombers. The Bombers, as you reported, also showed some interest in Malcolm Roses at Gold Coast as a pressure forward. He is likely to stay now at Gold Coast. So clearly Essendon is looking for that pressure forward. Maybe Ben Long could be their answer. I think it's pretty preliminary interest right now from the Bombers, but a number of clubs are starting to pick up the phone.
So their intention would be to play him as a forward because he's probably played his best footy across halfback for the Saints.
He has. His best season was 2020. He missed a few games through suspension, but he was a first-choice player in that year, and the Saints even went to the, I think, appeals board in the finals to get him off that semi-final charge that he ultimately missed with. I think you can play at both ends, really. The Bombers had good success with Nick Hind as a halfback from St Kilda as well. I'm not exactly sure where the Bombers see him if he was to come across. And again, I don't think they've gone all out in a pursuit for Ben Long right now, but they have asked the question of him. Maybe it is for that pressure forward in that player, in that mould that we spoke about with Roses.
Are there any other clubs, do you think, or is it would just be Essendon?
I think there are a few other clubs. As to who they are, I don't know exactly yet. I think this is a name we'll be looking at for the next 4 or 5 days. A bit more information will come out on Ben Long. So we'll wait, sit back and see, are there any other interested suitors? But as it's been put to me this morning, a few clubs are keen. The Bombers are one of those.
All right, so you can check out that full story on afl.com.au. That's a good one, Mitch. We're here for AFL Trade Exchange for Rheem. Ask your plumber to install a Rheem, steady, hot and strong. And for Repco authorised services, for expert car service, book online at repcoservice.com. Now, for anyone who's new to AFL Exchange, the way we sort of do things and the way we'll do things today over the next hour is we pose a few questions to each other and we try and get answers to them. You can get involved for the Kogan Mobile open line 1300 235548. But Mitcho, the first question I want to ask you, we obviously saw Melbourne win the grand final and win the premiership, first one in 57 years on Saturday night. What can clubs take from their list build into this year's trade period?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think there's a few things you can take out of what Melbourne did on the weekend. Firstly, it's patience with his stars. Obviously, Petrarca is now at 26. He's got an 8-year contract in front of him, but he only really came good as a superstar of the competition at the start of 2020. So he took his time, and with the top-end players, you know, you look at a Carlton, do they have to buy their time a little bit longer on a Paddy Dow and these sorts of players? Luke Davies-Uniac at North Melbourne, when can we expect him to come good? Well, Petrarca and Oliver, I think Oliver was always a star as soon as he burst onto the scene, but Petrarca has taken his time to get to this level. The other thing as well is you've just got to nail your mid-range picks. So you look at some of the players Melbourne have taken.
Well.
I've got the notebook. I've prepared this. So these are the players Melbourne have taken. Sparrow at 27, Spargo at 29, Fritch 31, Rivers 32, James Jordan 33, Gawn 34, Petty 37. It's a pretty good core, plus the youth as well. They've backed in the youth. 8 players, 21 or under on the weekend. And I went back to look at Geelong's team this season. They haven't got one player in their best 22, 21 or under. Melbourne had 8 on the weekend in their premiership team. The other thing, I questioned it at the time and sort of thought, should you be having that much tied up in your key defenders? Well, they went and got Jake Lever and Stephen May. I think those two players are in their top 5 paid players on the list, but yep, it's worked. And they've gone and drafted for the stars and traded for the needs. Ed Langdon was a need on the wing. That worked. Ben Brown comes in as a key forward. That worked. He's kicked 3 goals in a grand final. So all the plaudits to Melbourne Footy Club, and I reckon they might be hanging around for a little bit longer.
You mentioned those later picks. I think what you need to do is you need to nail those later picks if you're going to go early on players. So we've seen this with St Kilda over the last couple of years. They haven't taken a first-round pick to the draft in 2 seasons. Melbourne didn't do it for 2 seasons in 2017 and 2018, but what they did, which is what you mentioned, is they nailed their later picks. So 2017, they trade their first-round pick for Jake Lever, but then they get with those 3 later picks, Spargo, Fritch and Petty, who all played in the premiership on Saturday night. 2018, they trade a first-round pick for Stephen May, but then their later picks, they take Tom Sparrow and James Jordan, who are part of the 23 on Saturday night. So they've managed to do both. They've got early guns in,
yep,
with their first-round picks, and they've managed to top up their list and top up their playing group with the 22 that played on the weekend with those later picks. The other thing I think clubs should take a lesson from in terms of what Melbourne have done is don't panic if you have a bad year.
Yeah.
2019, they finished second bottom.
Yep.
They didn't panic. They went to the draft. They traded a future pick to get an early second round first round selection. They bring in 2 players that play critical roles in that grand final in Luke Jackson and Kaiser Pickett. So it's not all doom and gloom if you have the bad year. I think that's something that probably St Kilda can learn from this year. They go out, they target their trade period the last 2 years, but they have a down year this year. Maybe they go to the draft this season, bring in some youth to complement those experienced players they've brought in over the last 2 seasons, and maybe that's how they go through.
Mm. Keen to get what our listeners have to say about this. 1-300-23-55-48. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter as well, at AFL Exchange. We love our interaction with our fans. The full podcast will be online a little later as well. Mm-hmm. So keen to get your take on where you see Melbourne and the best parts of their list build heading into that grand final. Rolls, on the other side of things, the Western Bulldogs, what is their biggest need right now to ensure they're back in the grand final next year?
I don't think they need to panic from Saturday night. I think that's a one-off game, which they were very much in with 40 seconds to go in the third quarter. So I don't think they need to panic. I think they need to look at it more holistically. And I think their one need they've had for the entire season is in key defence. I think the chopping and changing they've done down there, whether or not it was Ryan Gardner or Zane Cordy or Alex Keith or who was playing down there, I think they sort of lack that one player that you can just lock away and you don't have to think about for the rest of the game. Melbourne has 2 of them with Jake Lever and Stephen May. I'm just not sure who the Dogs have right now that you can lock away and you don't have to worry about for the rest of the game. So that's a big need. Do they need a long-term ruck? Stephen Martin, as you reported over last week, wants to go again. But
yeah, that was Cal that reported that.
Yes, on Inside Trading on AFL.com.au on Thursday. But do they back him in for a year or do they need a long-term option if they do see Tim English as a key forward?
Yeah, and then where does Jamara Ugle-Hagen fit into all of that? And where does Sam Darcy fit into all of that? There's some good questions. Where do you see Peter Laddams right now? So right now, as it sits, we understand he's looking around to see where he sits. I think he'd be keen to or happy to stay at Port Adelaide if it came to that next year. But do you see him being a number one ruckman right now? Because a few clubs have gone and done it, and some of the best ruckmen in recent years have come from recycled options from other clubs. Is Peter Laddams an option for the Dogs?
Yeah, I think he should be if he's not. And I think you can almost take a longer-term approach to this if you're the Dogs and say, look, we might keep Steph Martin next year, but you'll be our number one ruckman from 2023 onwards.
Yeah.
I think that's a similar thing to what North Melbourne has sold for Callum Coleman-Jones. I think he wants to be a number one ruck in the future, but I don't think he's going to be North Melbourne's number one ruck next year. It's going to be Todd Goldstein. But I think they've just said to him, look, if you bide your time, spend a couple of years forward, you're going to be our number one ruck for the future. And I think a club like the Western Bulldogs, if they've got the cap room, can make that play for Peter Laddams. I think he's the most natural fit for them. Maybe someone like a Hawthorne as well. But I don't know how you see it. But I think that Laddams is almost a perfect player for them in the sense that he can be that long-term number one ruck. You mentioned 2 players there. It's not often that a side makes the grand final and has the number one pick from the year before and will have a top three pick a year later, which is what the Dogs have. So 2-3 years' time, you're going to bring in Jamara, you're going to bring in Sam Darcy into that side, and things are going to be looking rosy for the Dogs. They just need to keep complementing the list. I don't think you can compromise the talent they've got there to have a quick fix, because I think these players they've got in reserve are going to be the ones that are going to be taking them to that next step in a couple of years on.
What do you think about the Dogs' need for a small pressure forward? Now, not criticising Cody Waitman in any way, but as you wrote a couple of weeks ago, he's not your traditional small forward. He plays almost as a marking forward in the air. He plays above his height, as we love to say here on AFL Exchange. Looking at the Bulldogs, and this is only one stat that ranks it, but average tackles inside 50 for the season. Mitch Hannon is their highest player in that department at 1.4 tackles inside 50 per game.
Yeah.
The Demons built their season off Alex Neil-Bullen, Charlie Spargo, Cozzy Pickett in that area. Do the Dogs need someone like that to be buzzing around and putting pressure on at the feet of their tools?
Yeah, maybe another one. I think Cody Waitman's pressure actually goes a bit under the radar. I think he's their number one forward half pressure player since he came into the side in round 9. That'll only build. I mean, I think the way the game's played now, Melbourne won the flag based predominantly on their forward half pressure throughout the year and being able to retain the ball in their forward half. The way the game's played now, I think you sort of have to build your game from that. So the more you can have, the better. I just don't know where you sort of find that now, because I think every club is cottoned on to the fact that you do need these players. So
like Mitch Wallace, for example, he's not your pressure forward, is he? He's more of your mark. You know, he's an option in the air, on the lead. He's not really, for me anyway, he's not that Cozzy Pickett, Charlie Spargo, Alex Neil-Bullen type?
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think he's more so, when he has played, has been the deepest option as a marking target.
So I'm just trying to think, what else have they got on their list? Like Lockie McNeil from the Western Bulldogs, have re-signed him for a couple of seasons.
Scott.
Yeah, Anthony Scott. There's a few options there. I don't know. It's just one thing that I'll look at, trying to compare Melbourne's list to the Bulldogs, and it's something that jumps out at the D's.
I think with those type of players as well, I mean, Cozzy Pickett's almost the exception because he was an early pick and he's got all the talent in the world. But you don't need to be a number one draft pick to apply pressure. And I think we've seen that. I think Adelaide's actually done that quite well this year. They've brought in guys like Berry who've been able to apply pressure. They're not blue chip draft picks that you have to go out and trade the world for, but they've come into the side and the first thing they can do is they can apply pressure. It doesn't take talent to apply pressure. So I think you can almost get these players, whether or not they're mature age players out of state leagues or what they are. I think you can find these players from somewhere.